Let me be your
Which he is going to edit off front.
There you go. So we're in. We're talking with the AX team, and they're all, you may see them having a bit of a glow because they announced general availability yesterday of AX 2009. Why don't we start over here with Hal? Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Hal Howard. I'm the general manager that runs the development team here for AX. We're kind of spread out around the world, so you're here in my office in Redmond, but we have offices pretty much everywhere, so that's what we do here.
Everywhere. World domination. Hey, Mike.
You said it.
He's allowed to say it. We aren't.
Mike Aaronburn. I'm the senior architect on the Dynamics team and spend a significant amount of my time on AX.
Awesome. And Sukumar?
I'm Sukumar Ratnam. I'm the architect for Dynamics AX.
Awesome. So, like I said, you guys just launched, or at least released, so it's now generally available. So what is this AX 2009 thing? Maybe we could talk about some of the stuff that's in there for end users, and then spend the bulk of our time talking about the developer story.
Okay. So AX 2009 is basically the fifth major release of the AX product. The last release was 2 years ago. In this release, we've delivered over 400 new sort of application features for the end users, everything from multi-site configuration to centralized payments to all sorts of, you know, good end-user benefits, role-based user experience, you know, the you know, there's just tons of good value for end users in there. And from a developer point of view, you know, we've essentially integrated AX with every Microsoft product you can think of, right? You know, we offer web services out of AX in terms of the ability for AX to be consumed as a web service from a variety of different tools. You can obviously consume that from within Visual Studio directly. We offer the ability to consume a web service from within AX's environment itself and integrate to other services that way. We have, you know, a pretty robust integration framework. You know, tons of different, you know, tools in terms of Windows Workflow Foundation and all the work that's going on there. The product is available on MSDN, so anybody interested should check it out there. And that's my commercial for developers.
Yeah, marketing guys will love you for that.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Mike? Is this an interesting new release?
No, it's a huge release for us, and we're really excited about it. AX4, which was the previous release, was kind of the first one that had a significant presence of a team here in Redmond working on the product along with our other development centers. In this release, I think you see every part of the team contributing in a pretty incredible way. We made huge strides on performance and scalability, a lot of great work together with the SQL team, a story we're really happy about with a great embedded BI story. With, you know, one of the big problems with systems like this is, from an end user point of view, they were things that you, after you did your work, you went and you had it go do one more step, enter a transaction to tell the system about it. Mm-hmm. The real value comes is when the system can actually turn all those transactions into information that can help people do their job. And we think with AX 2009, we kind of really hit that target pretty strongly with a great embedded BI story.
And a lot of that BI is actually coming from the stuff that the Office team and Performance Point team have already been doing.
So it's I think the sort of the biggest set of pieces that we start with are the ones that the SQL team produces.
Right.
So in this release, we're using SQL Analytics Services to build cubes. We shipped 10 cubes out of the box, so for sort of different domains within the business application. Kind of the problem people have with getting a good BI thing going is maybe the tools aren't there, but even if the tools are there, you're sort of sitting with a clean sheet of paper and saying, where do I start? We gave them 10 cubes that were pre-built with a large number of key performance indicators that were also pre-built and kind of wired into that role-tailored user experience that Hal talked about. So we shipped 31 different roles for sort of 31 different job functions within a business right out of the box, backed by these 10 cubes. So for a CFO, you'd see all the kind of key performance indicators about kind of the money side of the business. For a production planner, you'd see the key performance indicators about supply, about orders, sure, about scheduling. And so those are in the box and also supported directly from our tooling environment, so that if somebody says, that's great, but I want to add this key performance indicator, or I'd like to add this to the cube, they have a great starting point from which to do it and great tools with which to make the changes. Layered on top of the analytics server, all of the sort of visualization of that BI is done through SQL reporting services. Mm-hmm. And so we have real solid integration with SQL reporting services for the visualization within the portals, and also all the reports that people want to build, and tools like entity relationship diagramming that help them build the more complex reports. And then all of those role centers that we talked about that surface this BI, those are all SharePoint pages. So we use the SharePoint technology in order to kind of give people that parts-based page that holds all the content that kind of makes sense for them, and a design experience that they already know to go extend it and do more things with it.
And you can also pull the data directly. So as an individual, I could pull it into Excel, for instance.
Absolutely.
And, right.
So, and in fact, there's a ton of different ways to do that. But the easiest way is that every list that shows up gives people, every list page gives people the ability to just directly export that data to Excel.
With a dynamic direct link.
Right.
Constantly updated.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What do you think, Sukumar?
So I think AX 2009 is the first release where we've actually broadened our appeal, not just to sort of the clerical end users of ERP, right, just not to the AR professional or to the AP professional. Some of the features we've added, like time and expense management, some of the things we've done on the HR self-service side, truly now we have a product that every employee of a company could use, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of just being bound to, you know, the 20% of people who do financials or HR back office stuff, we can actually get to all the end users in the company. It increases penetration. And the user interface that they use is a portal-based interface based on SharePoint. Mike talked about a lot of things for those users in terms of BI. It really is about expanding the scope of AX, right? So expanding the scope of AX within the end user side. We've also done a lot of work on the data center side, right? Mike talked a little bit about performance. We produce a 64-bit version. We are supporting Hyper-V. So you look at sort of the IT layout in a data center. AX 2009 will probably embody some of the best technologies that Microsoft has to reduce cost in running a data center. So in appealing to the larger customers and to those IT architectures that are there, we did a ton of work in AX to actually leverage the rest of the Microsoft technologies.
So AX is the...
You can't use the L word.
Okay. I don't know what the L word is. Leverage. Okay. No leverage. Yeah.
This is a developer. In the best possible way.
Use and abuse, yeah. So you mentioned some of the larger customers. Give us a sense for where AX fits in. There's a number of ERP products that Microsoft has in the suite, the dynamic suite. AX now, because of the performance tuning, goes much farther than it.
I think we say organizations with 50 to 10,000 employees, and the reason we say organizations rather than companies is often divisions of enterprise, particularly autonomous division enterprises, fit well within that sweet spot. There aren't too many divisions of companies that are bigger than 10,000 employees,
right,
you know, that actually operate as a single business unit, right? So if you think about, you know, the deployment unit being a single business unit,
mm-hmm.
the reality is we can serve any company on the planet with
sure.
AX, right? There really isn't an upper scale limit. There's, you know, 50 to 10,000 employees in a business unit is what we're saying is the target.
And so
market.
As you roll out into these large enterprises, it's more hub and spoke type model where you're...
Can be hub and spoke. It can just be a flat distributed model where you've got peering going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of deployment options in terms of what you can do there. We've seen companies that do deploy hub and spoke. We've also seen companies that deploy for autonomous divisions, and then their hub, if you will, is basically a data warehouse where you pull data out of it. They have
uh-huh.
no central general ledger. They have a bunch of autonomous divisions that operate with their own accounting systems, and then their integration, if you will, is at the data warehouse level. We have some quite large companies that are using multiple deployments of AX to scale out to their businesses.
So we talked a little bit about some of the parts of the stack. Can we talk about some of the stuff that's near and dear to the developers watching the video, probably .NET stuff? And so I know that some of the infrastructure is based on .NET. The UI is now entirely .NET based. Am I right?
So the portal-based UI is entirely all based on SharePoint parts. It's based on ASP.NET.
Uh-huh.
In AX 4.0, we had a portal whose parts were available through SharePoint, but the parts themselves were not built with ASP.NET. So today our portal, our entire self-service UI for employees, for vendor self-service, so vendors come in and want to, create invoices, or if you have customers who want to buy products through your website, all that infrastructure is based on ASP.NET and SharePoint.
And through that infrastructure, you can actually get access to any piece of data inside AX. We actually expose the query infrastructure of AX through ASP.NET. Mm-hmm. You can program to any of the data inside the system and actually get the benefit of the server-side objects that are a part of AX's core environment and the whole bit there. You can program either to the internal objects or you can program to the web services we make available at the document level through ASP.NET. So.
Yep. Oh, sure. There's also the rich client as well.
The rich client has a number of .NET controls built into the end of the client and a .NET extensibility story around it in terms of being able to program to it. The client itself is still a native code client.
Sure.
So just one example of the control that Hal was talking about in terms of embedding .NET controls inside a rich client. We have what we call an organization tree viewer. So this is where you can set up your departments, your employees, create the hierarchy, mm-hmm. decide where your manufacturing plants are, mm-hmm. relate that to the network of organizations you have. All that is actually built as a WPF control. So there are elements of .NET controls inside our Windows rich client, and then there is the portal self-service browser-based side, which is all ASP.NET based.
So beautiful. On the end user side, it's all .NET. I mean, you could say that.
Effectively, the extensibility model and the controls are all .NET.
And then we talk about on the server side, a lot of the infrastructure for the server side is also .NET. Some of the workflow, the web services stuff, can we talk about that?
Sure. They've taken sort of two things, two different ways to think about sort of what we've done in web services. The one is the ability for a developer to access a piece of AX functionality. So there's document classes built that are web services for things like sales orders and purchase orders. And if you want to program against those documents, if you actually want to program against fine-grained methods that we have built inside of AX, those are also available. You can reflect them into strongly typed .NET classes and then go ahead and party on them in VS. So whether you're going against document more coarse-grained web services or whether you're going against fine-grained methods, you have access to all of that from VS. So you can sit inside VS and program against that. And we've seen interesting applications where people, for example, have built a vendor portal where the entire onboarding process is built as a .NET application, but then when the vendor is approved and created, it goes inside and creates the vendor inside the AX schema, so you have a single repository of vendors.
Uh-huh.
So you can start to build additional applications and features around the core of what we've built.
Now, the main programming language for Dynamics AX 2009 remains primarily X++, and the programming environment is MorphX. And yet, there's numerous opportunities now for Visual Studio developers to pull in some of their work and do some integration, perhaps some extending of AX, which you're talking about. Let's talk about some of those pieces. I guess the primary way to get access to that information that's in the various objects would be AIF, the Application Integration Framework, right?
Yeah, the Application Integration Framework does a couple of things. It gives you an integration pipeline into AX. It also exposes the web services that we have built, and it provides the mechanism to take any method that we have built, not just the web services, and have a strongly typed .NET interface to it. So you can think of AIF as both our integration mechanism and the mechanism we have used to expose web services out to the outside world.
And you're thinking about things at the granularity of kind of document in, document out, right? So building an integration to pass purchase orders from a customer into Dynamics AX to turn them into sales orders on that side, then the AIF interfaces would be a great way to do that. There's also, we surface there a lot of the things that sort of relate to kind of point-to-point contracts between how should I communicate with that supplier, how should I communicate with that customer. So that's what Sukumar was talking about in terms of the pipeline. And those then rely on the web services that we were talking about.
So you can either expose or consume web services, whether you're coming from AX going out to consume some web service, or you can expose a web service or an object that can then be hit by any web service, right?
Then I think there's two other principal things to talk about. The second one is Sukumar mentioned earlier, which is if you need finer grain component interfaces to get down to individual property or individual method interface. It's kind of analogous to what people did through COM before. There's a .NET connector that allows you to, from VS, manage code, get access to everything in all of the objects and methods within AX.
So that's the .NET business connector?
Correct.
Right.
And so that's there. And so you've sort of got two different styles of interface, both from managed code, both supported by AX. The last thing is that we did a significant amount of work on the interop, .NET interop, from X++ code. So if you are a developer inside the Morphex X++ environment, but you want to call out to managed code in order to take advantage of something that's been built in managed code, the ability to call managed code efficiently from X++ and handle types effectively going across is something that we spent a lot of work on in AX 2009.
And so the benefit there would be, sorry, go ahead.
So I think one of the best examples of what Mike was talking about is the work we did on integrating to the Dynamics Live Services. So these are services, for example, that Microsoft is building, online services for things like credit card payment and authorization. Those are services that are built, you know, and run in a data center at Microsoft, and yet our application is integrated to those. So we use all of these technologies to basically have an application development experience. So when you take a sales order, for example, you can actually authorize a credit card using a service that exposes itself to AX over the cloud as a web service.
Cool.
So that's an example of where we consume the web services that are just not regular web services, but actually running as services in the cloud.
So we talk about this as generically as web services, but actually under the covers there is the Windows Communication Foundation, right?
All our web services and our integration infrastructure is built on WCF.
So entirely built on the .NET infrastructure that's already there. And so in theory, you could take those WCF and fully customize them because of the pluggable nature of WCF, so taking full advantage of that.
Absolutely.
The other piece, which is interesting, also .NET related, is workflow. Can you talk about a little bit about how workflow is surfaced?
Sure.
So, Mike, you want to talk about that?
Sure. So one of the things that we did is every approval workflow within Dynamics AX 2009, which previously would have been where the approval process would have been captured in code, or not captured at all and kind of just left up to the users. Those workflows are now modeled using WF, and they execute through WF. We've also produced on top of that, so the principal development experience for WF is a Visual Studio experience oriented towards developers. We produce on top of that a configuration and tailoring experience for business analysts to be able to modify the workflow, potentially add additional steps, add rules, and add policy. And a great example of that can be seen in the expense management application, where sort of all the policies associated with deciding that an expense report is valid are basically expressed in almost English language sentences. That, you know, if expense report total dollar amount is greater than limit, then, you know, it need extra approval. That they express rules like that, the analyst does, through the application, and yet those are then still executed, the workflow itself is still executed through WF.
So WF. So completely abstracted WF, so that from an end user perspective, they don't know and really don't care
how it's
running. But under the covers, it's all WF.
It's under the covers, it's all WF. We did a bunch of things that we're really happy about. One of them, for example, is taking advantage of the tracking provider architecture that WF supports. So we implement a tracking provider so that at each step in the workflow, we're capturing information about what path we're taking in the workflow, how much time things are taking. And our tracking provider actually stores that data right back in the AX database as regular AX data entities. So from a reporting and analysis point of view, I have my business transaction data and the process data in the same place. And I can actually do analytics that kind of look at those things together. So how long is it taking me to authorize purchase orders that are under $100 and for my set of strategic suppliers? So I can actually do the analysis that looks at process information, how long, how many exceptions did I have, and business data, how big are these transactions, who are they with, et cetera.
So sort of a simple business activity monitoring of sorts?
It's what people try to achieve with business activity monitoring from the outside, but it's actually inside. right, is that we're actually tracking right through the model of what we define the process as.
And you can define it easily because it's all in our own database.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
And using Overit, you could also run jobs that do things like, if you know this thing's been outstanding for so long, then throw in exception sorts of rules.
Yep.
I mean, all sorts of things that you know are impossible if you're doing it from the outside. But if once you have the data inside, you can reason over it.
So from an operations point of view, you could be sending off a text message to someone saying, "Hey, this order has been sitting for too long."
Which brings up another piece of the stack that we integrated with, which was the unified communications.
That's where I was at.
That's got to be Steve Tomar's topic. As passionate as he is, you got to let him talk about it.
All right, tell me about it.
So with unified communications, what we did was just not embed the presence control, but we wired the presence control into contact information in our database. So take the classic example of someone dealing with suppliers, right? So if I'm a purchasing agent, I'm dealing with 200 suppliers, you don't want me to drag and drop, you know, the names of the contacts of 200 suppliers into my personal address book. What you really want to do is have that information in the application database, but yet when you bring up a purchase order form, have the presence control light up using the email address of the suppliering agent at the purchasing, of the vendor, right? So basically, we embedded the presence control into AX, and then we have data bound that presence control into mail, IM, phone information that's sourced from our database. So when you right mouse click and dial, it'll actually dial using the phone number that's in the database.
So the kind of standard view on presence and click to communicate is it comes off your contact information in that communicator knows
about.
But what the unified communications guys provide is there's actually a provider interface for where the directory information comes from. So we marry that with all of the address, phone, email information that we have in the core AX database. So all your suppliers, all your customers, so that's there once in the shared database that's at the server for all my users. Doesn't have to be in everybody's communicator database.
So the benefit there is that you don't have to set up all these federated systems with other vendors and so on. It just works.
And I don't have different people at different desks with different information. I've got the greatest one source of the truth about how do I get to my vendors, how do I get to my suppliers, how do I get to my customers in the core AX database. And communicator is unified communications is working off that, and we surface the presence information wherever those guys show up. If you're looking at an order and the order contact is there, you'll see the presence information. You can click on the presence information and figure out whether you should email them, IM them, or call them.
So there's no need on the end user's part to do anything. If Office Communication Server and Office Communicator on the client are there, these features just light up.
That's correct.
That's pretty neat.
These features will light up, and think of the case where you have, let's say, 300 suppliers and you have 300 purchasing agents. You don't want to have each of those 300 purchasing agents knowing the email, phone, IM address of not just the 300 suppliers, but the 200 contracts at each of the 300 suppliers.
Yeah,
right?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's 180,000 addresses.
He's done the math. Awesome. So,
Hal's checking me now. Yeah. He's 300.
Looking for his kid. So, let's talk about the opportunity here from a developer thinking about what they should be doing. There's obviously an opportunity to embed Dynamics AX, but there's also many developers that are .NET developers that can take full advantage of this platform, and it is in fact a pretty robust platform.
I mean, there are thousands of existing customers that are going to upgrade to AX 2009, and there are thousands of new customers that will be sold over the next few years. And you know, each of those customers has potentially hundreds or thousands of employees that have access to the data in the system. So the reality is an install base to target applications at. It's a pretty interesting place to be, right? It's writing applications to serve that install base, even if you're doing a relatively small application that you want to be able to integrate to a rich set of back office data, it's a good way to showcase your application and show what it could do, and the embedded analytics and the workflow and all those sort of things just make richer the kinds of applications you can do and the amount of reasoning you can do over that data, right? So it's a fairly robust platform to write applications on for existing customers. Also, if you're trying to do more complex things where you need the full support of a back-end general ledger or payables or receivable systems, I don't know too many vendors today that have got the wherewithal to do all that work in times 40 countries that it has to be localized to, and AX is in 40 countries. So if you're trying to service a particular vertical industry across those markets, you may well be served to write your application using AX as the platform component for all the base functions, and then take it to market in 40 countries rather than the one you might have the ability to do the accounting for.
So even though there's a certain level set of, or base set of functionality around BI or unified communications or collaboration,
sure,
there's an opportunity there for
huge opportunity in terms of the vertical last mile. I mean, the reality is we have, you know, pretty good support for discrete manufacturing and for professional services and several big broad industries. But even within those industries, right, if you're doing, you know, automotive parts suppliers within, you know, discrete manufacturing, they have unique needs that you could write a special application for. Within professional services, media and entertainment's vertical that, you know, people are writing applications for, legal services, mm-hmm. IT services. There's a variety of, you know, professional services industries that each have their own unique application needs. And we'll never do all of those out of the box. That's where ISV ecosystem comes into play, right? Microsoft's got a rich tradition of having these ISVs fill that last vertical mile. Mm-hmm. And there's some quite big business opportunities because oftentimes that last vertical mile is the thing that the business values most. Being able to get after that last vertical mile is what they need, where the business value will be derived, right? And so, you know, it's a pretty good opportunity for people both from a technology point of view and from a business point of view to go after that market.
I think the interesting thing is from a business perspective, ERP has sort of been an island in many cases, right? Lots of proprietary technology, restricted to a few users in a company, hard to sort of build vertical last-mile applications for. So if you look at sort of what Hal said, you know, there are four core audiences we can now expand to, right? First is ISVs who want to build extensions, want to build vertical modules. We can now extend into actual end users in a company for self-service scenarios. We can extend into the business decision makers who have never got value from ERP through integrated BI and reporting. And we're now extending into the data center with infrastructure that's consistent with what, you know, a lot of people want to build as corporate level IT data center infrastructure, right? So along all those different dimensions, AX 2009 significantly moves the bar, right?
So last words, where would you want to leave it if you had the .NET developer sitting at the table? What would you tell him?
Yeah, think of your application, download the development kit from MSDN, and get started, right? We'd love to have you on board, and there are a number of business opportunities out there from in the Dynamics community, everything from, you know, marketing your own add-on to applying for the Certified for Dynamics program. We'd like to see you in the community.
Awesome. Mike, any last words?
We'll look to see all the new solutions available at our next Convergence conference in the spring.
And PDC, maybe?
Yeah, where you've got, you know, 10,000 business decision makers coming together to look at new solutions. So Convergence is a great opportunity to market your new solution. So we'll look forward to seeing you next March.
10,000 of your closest friends.
Right. 10,000 of my closest friends. Yeah, right. I would love to see your solution.
How about you, Sukumar?
Get Windows Server 2008, go get SQL Server 2008, get, you know, Visual Studio 2008, and the AX 2009, and go party on it. Go write some code.
Party hardy.
Go write some code on it.
Awesome. Well, thanks very much, guys. This is awesome.
Thanks.
You.
Thanks.